when I was on alert for something that was familiar, I still missed it. This song, a Wu-Tang song, Wu-Tang. Cream. This was used in some type of Japanese dance in Shogun World in Westworld on Sunday night. When I go back for my second watching and then see how dumb I was and missed all this stuff, I'd be like, oh, it was right there the whole time. It is the most complicated. I want somebody to watch. Somebody who's watched Westworld and loved Lost. I'd love to hear from that person. And I'd love to know if Lost, on a scale of 1 to 10, if it was like a 6 of complication, if Westworld is like a 24. Welcome into the podcast. We are recording right now, 3:30 on Wednesday, May 23rd. There is a lot to get to today. I have a handful of things that I just want to share tweet-length thoughts on. And by the way, it's just Eric. I'm planning to get the crew together on Saturday, but it is Memorial Day weekend, so I can't guarantee anything. So I wanted to make sure you got at least one this week. Thank you for finding us, me. Just search Eric Chase on the iTunes podcast app, or if you're an Android user, Podbean, the Podbean app. You can also go to that website as well and find things. But if you're here, you're here. So now I ask you to hashtag subscribe and share. Subscribe and share. Thanks for tuning in right now. Like I said, the big things today, I learned all about fridging. What? Fridging, I guess, is a Hollywood term, and we'll get to what it is and why a couple of people, a couple of writers anyway, and maybe more people are upset about it in relating to Deadpool. So that's one big thing. And also, last night was the first downtown Toledo transportation meeting. I intended to attend, but I didn't. I decided to do girlfriend and stepdad stuff, or good boyfriend and stepdad stuff. So those are the two big things. But first, a handful of tweet-length things to get to. One, as you know, ericchasespeaks.com. If you'd like me to bring some of my mental health experiences and share them with your workplace, your group, whatever it may be, you can head over to ericchasespeaks.com and find out more about how that happens. A quick update, if you listen to the 36 Hours in Bed podcast, screw the sexual issues. That is what it is. I had too wobbly of a week last week to be messing around with 20 milligrams of Cymbalta. So we're back up to 40. Okay? So that's an update from last week. Thank you to Dr. Frankel and my friend over there, Pam, who does a lot of their marketing. And I got to meet Zach today and Haley, who works on a lot of Dr. Frankel's social media. You know, a longtime supporter of myself and the show, of course. They were doing free dental work for vets today. With Memorial Day just a couple of days away. So thanks to Dr. Frankel for letting me be a part. Thanks to Dr. Frankel and Pam for letting me be a part of that. Also, I'm not going to push this on you. I technically don't have full-time work, but I am a Cumulus Media employee. That's why I'm here right now recording this in the Q105 studio. But if you think I've made a positive impact on you and here in our community where we live, I've worked on a lot of projects since not working last year. Like I said, the best thing to come out of, one of the many great things, but maybe one of the two or three best things to come out of not having that show anymore, is being able to invest in causes that I really appreciated and give them my time. Because a year or so ago, like literally like 11 and a half months or so ago, I didn't have the emotional well-being to commit to those things, and I certainly didn't feel like I had the time. I had the time, my emotional well-being was fixed, so I was able to dedicate myself to things like NAMI and the walk and the Lucas County Suicide Prevention Coalition, and also HARP with ProMedica and various other things, getting involved with Sophia Quintero Arts and Cultural Center and Toledo Soup. Thank you for making that such a successful event this past Sunday at the downtown branch of the Lucas County Library. So I think I've mastered not having a job, but still working. And I know I've gotten so many messages, whether it's from the podcast with the 36 hours in bed or the TED Talk or just things that I pop out on social media. I know who you are. and I won't let people know who you are, but I may use your words anonymously as testimonials on that website, ericchasespeaks.com. But if I have made an impact, if you truly believe that I've helped you or people in our community, I would ask that you nominate me for 20 under 40 in Toledo. This is my last 11 and a half months to win it. I am not eligible for next year's version because I'll have turned 40. I just turned 39. And this is the most I've talked about my recent birthday because I'm just suggesting or asking if you feel I have made a positive impact and made where we live a better place for you or for others. I'd appreciate you nominating me for 20 under 40. You can give that a quick Google. It's also on my social pages. And you don't even have to write a story. It's just a nomination. And maybe they follow up somehow. It's where I work, Cumulus Media. ericchase79@gmail.com. And if you're really considering doing this, message me. I'll give you my phone number. I don't want to put that on my social page. These are longer than tweet length, aren't they? Tweet thread length. Car alarms. Where I live, I hear them go off all the time downtown, specifically at the Spaghetti Warehouse parking lot. I was walking the dog today near the post office that's just outside of downtown, that's near like 75 in Collingwood, and there was a transit van, and his car alarm went off. He stopped it, and then it went off again. I don't know if any more than four times in my entire life of driving with a car that has an alarm with a key fob and that alarm button on there, I don't know if it's been more than four or five or maybe six times I've accidentally set my alarm off. I've certainly haven't purposely done it, but I would love to be enlightened as to how you keep hitting the alarm button, the panic button for your car alarm on that fob so frequently. How does it happen so easily? Is there something in the Spaghetti Warehouse parking lot that... Is there something going on with the radio waves that triggers that alarm button? It's stunning to me that so many people's alarms go off so frequently and mine doesn't. Another thing. In the last 10 years or so ago, razors have become extremely expensive, right? And I've been shaving my head since like 2004 or 2005. I use a Gillette Mach 3 Turbo. But I think even women's razors became really expensive. And then Dollar Shave Club came along. And then I think within the last year or two, something called Harry's came to Target, which I guess you can call a competitor to Dollar Shave Club. Inexpensive razors. I tried it. I didn't like it. I gave it to Demetrius. I was like, yeah, the thing is like putting a machete on your head. And he's like, so you gave it to me? I'm like, yep. Hey, we're all a little different. One size jeans might not fit me. The same size might fit you better. Whatever. So razors expensive. Can't get around that. Even though the prices seem to be, the quantities are going up and the cost isn't going up as much. So I'm good with razors. But the stuff I use to shave my head, it's hard to find. It's called Head Slick. And it's like a mentholated head shaving cream that I've been using on my head since the very first time I put a blade on my head to get rid of it all. Usually I can get it at Walgreens. It's never ever on sale, but I think when I started buying it like 13 years or so ago, it was like $5 or $6. Recently it's been like $7.99 or $8.99, and it lasts me, I guess, a couple of months, so it's not a big purchase. But it's only in a couple of drugstores. I never see it in CVS. It's not in supermarkets like Kroger or Target or Walmart. It's only usually in like Walgreens or Rite Aid. Last week, I was down to like a dab of this stuff, like a dab. And I don't know if I could use regular shaving cream on it, on my head. And you don't want to cut like anywhere above the neck. You bleed profusely. It's like you have been murdered. It's just blood for days. I don't know why that is. My mom explained it to me one time long ago. So that it may or may not be accurate. So I had to order the stuff, this Head Slick stuff online. And it cost me, I looked online. I looked online at like Walgreens and the stores where it normally has, out of stock. $16 on Amazon. That's what? That's 100% more the cost of this thing? Wow. somebody had mentioned to me when I posted something on my Facebook page that, one, try buying it off the website. I didn't even think about that. And it seemed to be in stock there, even though I think it was $8.99. Somebody else mentioned another kind of head shaving cream to me. So I'll have to look into that. But we could be coming. Have you ever purchased, have you ever been with a product for such a long period of time and then for whatever reason it goes off the market and you're kind of lost? I had those kind of fears last week when I was going to Rite Aid, to CVS, to all these stores, far more than I've ever been before in different areas of the city. I'm like, why doesn't anybody have this? It has everybody in Toledo decided to shave their head? I mean, I know we finally got nice weather. That was longer than a tweet length thing. Okay, let's do the fridging thing, and then we're going to get to downtown Toledo traffic. First, we'll tie this into Deadpool because that's where it started. But if you want to make a terrible bet, if you want to make an awful bet, I just read today, let's see, according to the UK's Metro, director Ryan Coogler for Black Panther and Creed is in the early stages of developing his sequel to Black Panther. And this is why I had a problem with people saying, don't spoil, why did all these people die in Infinity War? I think Black Panther was even more successful than they expected it to be, but Infinity War was just about done as that was in theater, so they couldn't go back and resurrect him in the movie or not kill him. What's done was done. But come on, did you really think he wasn't coming back? So Coogler is in the process of developing that sequel and is in the process of developing a few characters, one of whom he'd very much like Donald Glover to play. Now, they say that Michael B. Jordan could be back. And by the way, I'm curious if you've read Fahrenheit 451, if you watched the movie on HBO. I didn't like it a whole lot, even though I like MBJ a ton and Michael Shannon as well. He plays the same character in almost all these roles, and I haven't gotten tired of him because he plays being a dick so well. But if Michael B. Jordan doesn't come back, or maybe in addition to his character, Childish Gambino is in some kind of informal talks with Ryan Coogler to be a villain in Black Panther 2, I will bet you the rest of my savings Donald Glover is in Black Panther 2. That's the easiest bet there is. Or if you want to make a bet where you lose, bet against Donald Glover, who is about to be Lando Calrissian in the Solo movie that comes out this weekend. Donald Glover is absolutely going to be in Black Panther 2. All right, which slides us over to Ryan Reynolds stuff. I adore him. He is my man crush of all man crushes. If I could snap my fingers and go, I want that body, that DNA, that wife, those two little girls. And even though his career has been wobbly, and he hasn't really hit super-duper stardom until Deadpool, romantic comedies, crappy action bro comedy movies, he's been C+. But I'll take everything he's got if I could snap my fingers and do it. So I'm an apologist of his. I'm also kind of an apologist for Michael Bay, the guy who made all the Transformers movies, because I know what I'm getting with Michael Bay. There's not going to be a lot of substance. There's going to be a lot of explosions, and he's very likely to shoot the movie like up in Adrian or in Detroit. He did that with a lot of the Transformers movies. Supposedly, Michael Bay and Ryan Reynolds are teaming up to work with Netflix. Deadline reports that Netflix is spending something in the neighborhood of $150 million to make a Michael Bay movie starring Ryan Reynolds. The movie or action franchise, as Deadline has it, despite the fact it consists of zero movies so far, it's called Six Underground and comes from the same guys who just scripted Deadpool 2, Paul Wernick and Rhett Reese. It's described as high testosterone mission movie. Netflix is familiar with this kind of thing because they just put out $90 million for that Men in Black kind of buddy cop movie with Will Smith and I think Joel Edgerton, where Edgerton is kind of an alien, but they're integrated in society. That was $90 million. That was called Bright. I watched half of that and bailed on it. So we know Netflix is spending money. But I'll say this. As much as I am an apologist for Ryan Reynolds because of my crush and for Michael Bay because I know what to expect. I know I'm not going to see an Oscar-nominated movie or anything that could potentially win an Academy Award. It'll usually win a Razzie. But those two together, and I'm sorry if someone in your life is brain dead, but you could literally be a vegetable. I could be completely or nearly brain dead and still probably enjoy a Ryan Reynolds, Michael Bay movie. Doesn't mean it's going to be bad. You just got to know what you're getting into. Expectations are so important. All right. Expectations for Deadpool. I kind of gave you spoiler speculation in the last podcast, and it was everything I expected it to be. It was funny. A lot of crass jokes. A lot of dick jokes. Prison. We all now know for sure what a prison wallet is. They used great liberties with Fox's licensing of X-Men. Like, Marvel doesn't own, Marvel movies and Disney don't own X-Men. Fox does. And they slipped in the X-Men that are current, like James McAvoy and I think Nicholas Hoult and Evan Peters for a brief scene. They used Juggernaut. He's the surprise character. So they used Professor X's chair and the mansion. So they used wide latitude with that. So I enjoyed it. It was good. I do have a question, though. We guess there's an X-Force movie coming. But with Marvel movies, there's Iron Man 1, 2, 3. There's Thor 1, 2, 3. There's Captain America 1, 2, Civil. Because they were all building up to what we just saw if we saw it in Infinity War. Even though the movies were standalones, there were tie-ins to things after it. And there was a time where it's like you just wanted to go to the Marvel movies, and whether they were good or bad, you wanted to see what the after-credit scene was. So you could, it's like you get to the movie just to see the next one. Where are these dead? Like, that's universe building. Same thing with like Star Wars and all these other franchises. I don't know if you can have a franchise out of Deadpool movies because they're, if like The Hangover was a superhero flick, that's Deadpool. And I don't know how far that goes. And when do we get tired of the pithy, but clever and snarky dick jokes and Ryan Reynolds? Well, I guess as long as there are bad movies out there, Ryan Reynolds and directors and producers of Deadpool can do a two-hour movie making jokes at those bad movies. You caught all the jokes and shots at other movies, right? So there's that. I read an article on a website I really appreciate called Vox.com, V-O-X.com. And then I came across the same thing on another comic book site that I read, CBR. I think it's Comic Book Resource, CBR.com. And it enlightened me to what is called fridging. What the heck is fridging? Let me pull this up. The author, unsurprisingly, this is a feminist issue. So her name is Angie Dahl on Vox. Her name is Asia Romano, AJA. And when I looked up the tweets back to Asia, I expect the most vile, vitriolic things when I go look at Twitter responses to people, especially women. It's disgusting and heinous. And they were actually pretty tempered. And I don't ever want to call somebody's opinion wrong, but I think this opinion is as close to wrong as you can get without just being wrong. This is What is Fridging? The explanation from Angie Dahl. In the late 90s, Gail Simone coined the term women in refrigerators, which is now known as fridging. And in response to an unfortunate Green Lantern storyline where Kyle Rayner, the Green Lantern, I guess, found his girlfriend Alexandra's dead body stuffed in a fridge. Simone realized that female characters in comics and other forms of pop culture entertainment were often killed, maimed, or raped in order to give the male hero motivation to act. In essence, a female character dies or is hideously injured so the male character can be developed. It's a plot device. I do my best not to be some knuckle-dragging Neanderthal man. I don't think any of my beliefs reside in the time of the 1960s where women dressed in white and stayed in the kitchen and made babies. None of that stuff. And as a brief aside, I'm not for equal pay. I'm for paying on merit, regardless of your race, religion, sex, sexual orientation, gender. So I'm not, you shouldn't get the same amount just because of something. Benedict Cumberbatch recently said he will likely turn down roles if his female counterparts, and if that's the case, if they are an equal, give them this, he said, if they don't get the same amount of money as he does, he won't do the role. So I like that. But if someone has a lesser role, if someone has a lesser role, then should they be paid the same amount of money? and how much money do you bring in? And I know that ties back to interest and who's behind developing certain properties, and are there men making things for men? So that's a wider issue, but I always like to throw that out there. I'm not really for equal pay. I think your pay should be based on merit and what you bring to something, regardless of all those things that I just said. So thinking about this fridging thing, and yes, I mean, I think this argument could really just end, as it has begun to, with things like Wonder Woman and the clamor for a Black Widow movie, and more, and Red Sparrow with Jennifer Lawrence. If you want to say that the world needs more heroic females to embody things that men have often embodied in heroic action or superhero movies, fine, end of discussion. But while they point out there is a long list from this author, Gail Simone, in comics and other movies that she's created. Yes, if you want me to admit that women, that this has happened to women often in superhero things, or even in movies, sure, absolutely. Movies develop pretty much the same way. I mean, if we had to do a three-act performance or create something, it's the same formula for the most part. We get to know the character or characters. There's a trauma, there's grief, and then there's some type of heroic action. In these articles, I think one of the writers pointed out John Wick's dog was fridged, and something about how dogs are treated better than women. There was also the word that, and I think it was in the CBR.com article here, that this is a devaluing of women. If I am wrong here and you disagree, please, let's have the discussion. I'm not trying to be terribly argumentative with this. I don't look at it as a devaluing of a woman or a person or a family or whoever is fridged. Because look, in any movie where there is a protagonist, something deeply emotional or something deeply tragic happens to them to drive them to heroic and brave and courageous actions. If you were to lose a loved one, family member, wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, you might be driven to great action too. So again, back to the devaluing, I don't think it is that, because there is so much value and emotion and care and love invested in that person who horrible things were done to. It creates those acts of heroism that maybe make superheroes out of just heroes, even in everyday life. People do things because traumatic things, something has been fridged in their life. And again, do I need to admit that this has happened more often than not to women to spur action within men than vice versa, or to animals, or to family members or friends? Absolutely it has. But do you want to even it out? Okay, let's even it out. But even if we even it out, somebody is getting fridged, or else we can't have that emotional attachment to that hero. Or we just go, this guy's fighting crime, or this person is doing these good things because they just feel like it. No, to have these modern day figures of mythology, whether they're just John Wick, comic book heroes, or simple acts of good neighborly decency, something spurs us to this action. So someone or something is always going to get fridged. That's that. I think we cleared all that stuff up. Now for the as I mentioned, I intended to go last night to the downtown Toledo transportation meeting that was held at the Seagate Center, and apparently it was a packed house. I decided to do boyfriend and stepdad stuff instead. I don't have any answers. I don't really have any solutions. I know one thing that people sought was easier ways to do biking downtown, and I think that's obviously been an initiative of the mayor. There'll be more bike stations for you to rent bikes, so have your smartphone, your mobile device handy, flash something, get an app, and take a bike, and then kind of like what you do when we go to Put in Bay, except you can't leave them places. You often have to take them back to the docking points. My biggest complaint, and I have a couple of them, but I've said this for years, even before growth really started. I'll go back 3 years now, when it was first announced that ProMedica was coming downtown. Within weeks after that, right on Summit, in between where Balance is now, so like Summit and Jefferson, and to the Imagination Station, there was landscaping that was done, beautifying of an island. It was just a basic barrier in the middle of Summit, but then it was beautified. It was landscaped beautifully with flowers and trees, and I'm like, okay, well, they should probably take that out now, because with ProMedica obviously being a hub and acting and creating a halo effect, drawing other businesses like Genoa Bank, like the City Egg that will eventually be opened up, Balance, obviously, they're creating a vibrance and an energy, and they're acting like a magnet, bringing things downtown, in addition to all their employees and the concerts that they have, and to the other side of the river that will eventually be developed. With all those thousands of employees, Summit Street's not big enough. That's why I said they're going to have to take away that landscaping, and you can't widen the roads, to my knowledge, and maybe they explained some of this last night, and not all of Summit needed to be widened, but some of it did. So to the second point, and I've said this for years and on the air all the time, Summit Street is too narrow for that and all the things that are for ProMedica and all the things that are coming with it. And let's move up to right now. There's tons of construction downtown. There's construction a little bit south from, south in Lafayette, just south of Owens Corning. When you're coming from San Marcos, there's like one lane there on Summit. They've been working on Summit and Monroe for quite some time. Turning lanes are narrowed on Monroe Street. And I always go back to what happened with ProMedica Parkway when I first moved here. ProMedica Parkway was closed, and people said, oh, it'll open up soon enough. And it did. So you could go ProMedica Parkway and get on 475. You won't have to close your eyes for this. You can go 475 eastbound, okay? And then either go 75 south or north. But if you were going north, you had a very short stretch of road to get over into that left lane. So some point in the near months after that entrance opened, they're like, this is a terrible idea. So they just shut it. Fast forward a couple of years, they put a median in so you can get on ProMedica and go 475 east, but only go 75 south. And look, I don't know if that's an ODOT thing, if that's a state thing, as opposed to being like a city thing. So I don't know how all these are connected, but I go look back, that's my example, and go, that's idiotic planning, no foresight, bad engineering, and how much money wasted to create that and then put the divider up. And I look back to where we are right now with construction on Monroe and Summit and various other places. And I know I've lived in the Midwest since 1999. I know the two seasons that we have here. Traffic, we have construction and winter. We have winter and construction. Those are the two seasons. And I know they have workers have very limited amounts of time to do this kind of thing. I am just hoping as this downtown Toledo transportation plan goes into effect and moves forward to give people their room to bike, and I guess some people want better ways to walk, although I walk downtown every single day. I have no walking issues, and I'm taking two dogs with me, other than now where streets are being ripped up and I can't go normal routes, and I've got to cross and basically jaywalk, even though I do a little bit already. I just hope the planning is better as we move forward, because it's quite troubling when there is so much construction going on in such close spaces. Like, it's got to be havoc when, I'll use another example. A couple of weeks ago when the Walleye started the hockey playoffs, where we're going to have 7,000 people downtown on a weekend night, on a Friday or Saturday, and there were Mud Hens games. And maybe it was a little damp and cold outside, but there were still, 10,000 people downtown? And Washington and Erie, or right above Erie, where the Bartley Lofts are at, where you get to that bottom of that hill, right block before the Tin Can, they ripped up the road and made a bump where they raised the manhole covers. They raised the manhole covers. So there was no way you weren't doing anything but 5 miles an hour to get through that, or you're going to blow your wheels out. And they slowly fixed it. But as the playoffs are there and baseball gets going, that's when you're doing that? It just seems like terrible planning. Look, I have no solutions other than what I'll offer in just a moment for better transportation downtown, other than plan these things better. Foresight is your best ally. What's the carpenter's rule? Measure twice, cut once. I usually just don't measure at all and just cut. That can't be the case with these things. And these are super smart people, right? These are engineers. These are like Owens Corning's type, the people that get their engineering degrees from a great engineering school like UT. Plan, 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 plan. And we're going to have to be inconvenienced somewhat. I read something, there's a Blade art, there's a Blade column on Mondays that talks about all the traffic and construction in the area. And somebody wrote in and said, I drove by Toys R Us and Vitamin Shop on Monroe Street, and there was no one out doing construction. And the guy's like, yep, they do it at night. Okay, perfect. That's why we ask, how come nobody's doing construction? Because it's there, because in the evening time, when there's less traffic, that's when they're doing it. Okay, satisfactory answer. Now, some of the ideas that did come from the downtown planning were, and I like this idea. Somebody suggested bringing back trolley cars. I'm cool with that. And you know what? If it just runs on the weekends, great. This way we can get people from downtown to uptown and vice versa, as opposed to Ubering. And I don't know if any of the pedicabs will take you up there. I don't know if the golf carts will go up there. So, since we have golf carts and we have the pedal bars, we can fit some kind of trolley, some kind of mid-size trolley, then just go up and down and get people like a miniature Tartar route. Another point for better transportation downtown. You listened to the podcast a couple of weeks ago with Q and his guy Derek about a plan they have to make Tartar more accessible for everyone. So Tartar is a big part of this. Heck, maybe they should invest in a small internet-friendly bus that goes uptown to downtown, or downtown to the Old West End, or downtown to the Renaissance. Just an idea. So the trolley idea is a good one, and it would be good optics. Good optics. And we can and get some local causes involved as well. I don't know how you can make roads friendlier for bikes. Unless you build another garage or two and get all parked cars off the street, like me living on St. Clair Street where Maddie and Bella's is, there's not much room for a bike unless you're on the sidewalk, and then you're running people down. So now there's parking meters, so the city would lose some revenue, but just put it back into the garages. Build two garages, three garages, and then get all the parked cars off the streets and make those bike lanes. And one final solution, my neighbor said people wanted to know how they could walk and get to have easier river access. I have an idea for that. The river access is obviously going over Summit, correct? And we've already talked about all the construction going on Summit, and that's a big problem because that's where the Renaissance is, the Imagination Station, Owens Corning, whatever's going to happen in the beautiful, my favorite building in the city, Fort Industry Square. I guess there'll be some retail, some ProMedica stuff, and some condos. And obviously, ProMedica is there as well. That is a major hub. So how do we alleviate foot traffic so people aren't crossing Summit? Skyways, sky bridges, pedestrian sky bridges. That's going to cost a lot and probably take a lot of time, but it will get people over Summit and to the river. And again, maybe we can make those some artful structures. So that's what it was. Downtown Transportation Toledo Planning. Your thoughts and feedback are always welcome. I ask you to hashtag subscribe and share. And if I was a little cloudy with the fridging thing, I apologize. And it might have just... If you want to have a feminist rant, go for it. I support all kinds of empowerment for good causes for people who deserve it. I am intolerant of hate and ignorance. But like I said, when I read the one girl's Twitter feed, they were, relatively speaking to social media, pretty tempered comments and feedback. People were asking to be further enlightened about it. But it sounds, fridging in the Deadpool movie, it sounds off base. Something traumatic happened to someone to further the plot of another character. That's what happens in everything. And yes, it has happened to women a lot. But if it happens the other way, if we even that out, it's still happening to someone or something. Again, John Wick is a great example. I now have a new life rule. I don't watch movies where dogs die. I didn't want to cherry pick examples of this movie and that movie and this and that. I mean, doesn't Leonardo DiCaprio's character die? Is he fridged in a way in Titanic? There's a fridging almost metaphorically speaking, in every movie to develop our emotional attachment to the protagonist who has an emotional attachment. The last one I'll cherry pick is, didn't Toto get fridged by the lady who turned into the Wicked Witch? I appreciate you finding the podcast. Just search Eric Chase on the iTunes podcast app or on Podbean if you're an Android user, ericchasespeaks.com. If I can be a part of a mental health wellness program that you're working on.